Talk Radio 760 KFMB presents It's Your Money, Not Theirs with your hosts Richard Musio and Joe Vecchio. Now, here are Richard and Joe.
All right, and good evening, and welcome everybody to another edition of It's Your Money, Not Theirs. My name is Joe Vecchio, your co-host and announcer for the program, and we hope you had a lovely Sunday and weekend watching NFL football, I assume. And now it's time to introduce the main man on the show, CPA Richard Musio, the family office guy. Good evening, Richard. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great, Joe. How are you?
I'm fantastic.
So, Joe, you told me you took up a new hobby for the new year. What is that?
Well, you know, you kind of inspired me. We had Kathy Kinane on last week, and of course, you're one of the main principals involved with the Oceanside Turkey Trot. So I did get back into jogging. I got down on that boardwalk, and I'm a little sore, but I'm getting there. But I'm going to lose some weight, and homemade soup. I'm getting into this homemade soup kick. So I'll give you one good tip. My friend's trainer said that if you eat five meals a day of 200 calories, the weight will just come peeling off, or dropping off. So that's my health tip for the new year, and I'm going to try and drop some pounds. So
that's good. Frequent small meals. That's what I try to do. I'm in training to run 3 half marathons in the span of 21 days, starting on January 22nd. So
3 half marathons
in the span of 21 days.
Oh my gosh!
So I did some running this weekend as well. Well, no football for me.
Yeah. Well, there was some exciting game. All the home teams won today. That was pretty impressive. So, but I got down there, saw the big waves there, and Thursday, Friday, we had some pretty big waves, and of course, we had a wonderful lunch Friday. Thank you again for lunch. That was fun. We met with another former radio executive, and we had some pretty good conversations, some good reminiscing. Hey, you know what? I saw a good film also that you should know about because you're in the family office business, and it's called The Descendants with George Clooney.
Yeah, I've heard about it. I haven't seen it.
I think you would enjoy that. It gets into a lot of the things that we've been talking about on this show, legacy, end-of-life issues, things like that, family issues. Even a little infidelity, if you can handle that. But
the family office business is never dull. But I can't say any more than that.
Yeah, and before we get into with our guest tonight, I just wanted to also, I found something in the Del Mar paper, or La Jolla paper, actually. There's a film, a documentary made, I think, locally by one of the mothers. If you're at all interested in the education system, this film is called, the documentary is called Race to Nowhere, subtitled The Dark Side of America's Achievement Culture. And they're screening it at Bird Rock Elementary School. And you could probably just Google that, Race to Nowhere La Jolla or Bird Rock Elementary, and find it that way. But it's free, and it looks pretty interesting. And they're even going to have a Q&A at one of the screenings coming up soon. So, but anyway, on with the show. Richard, why don't you talk about our show tonight and our terrific guest.
We've got a very interesting guest, and this show is always about money, and we're going to try to keep the topic on money, but we're also going to talk about politics, which we normally don't talk about on the show. I think, a lot of shows, they're fair and balanced. We actually are fair and balanced because we almost never talk about politics at all. But our guest tonight is TJ O'Hara, who is the, shall we say, latest person to throw his hat into the presidential ring for the 2012 election. And it's pretty exciting stuff because he's also local here from San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
So it's neat that we have somebody who's local to San Diego,
mm-hmm.
who's actually trying to go out and challenge, shall we say, the two-party system, because his approach is very interesting. And again, we're going to talk about some of his ideas on the economy and Wall Street and what he would do when he gets elected, about turning the economy around and income tax simplification and all those fun things. But I think maybe a little bit of background about TJ first. TJ, why don't you spend a couple of minutes and just tell us about your history, your background, what you've done, what led you to this point, and the decision that you've made to try to serve our country.
Be happy to, Richard. It dates back about 3 years ago. I started studying the political situation once the economy collapsed and we started into the recession. I had predicted that about 6-8 months before it occurred. And I had done turnarounds for over 25 years in the corporate world, and in that context, used a systematic approach, a process, whereby we took the time to define the problem, to make sure that we were addressing the correct issues, and identify the root cause. And then the next step is to consider all the alternatives, what the potential negative consequences are, the probability of success, timeliness of implementation, and so forth, And once you select that, execute. Well, in the process of trying to evaluate the various different problems that were identifiable with regard to the economy, the root cause kept coming back to what I call the party paradigm. The two parties have a thirst for power, and they fuel that thirst with money. And the entire process has gotten out of control. Now, the problem is that neither of the parties can attack the negative consequence of that circumstance because they're both engulfed by that same party paradigm. They're playing by the same rules. And I was waiting. I'm not politically oriented by nature. I was waiting for a fresh candidate to come out, hopefully somebody who was driven by a specific passion for politics. My passion is more driven by a passion for the country. And quite honestly, my father and very many of my cousins served in the South Pacific, predominantly some in the European theater during World War II. And I remember growing up, they couldn't even talk about the horrific nature of those conflicts. Mm-hmm. And when I think of the sacrifice that they made, we finally came to a family decision that no one else was stepping up. And that's the best way I can honor those people in my life.
And you're running as an independent, right? You're not Democrat.
I'm running as a citizen, not part of the independent party because there is an independent party. I'm running as a citizen, which is provided for under the Constitution.
Wow.
So you obviously think the status quo doesn't work. What do you think is at stake if things don't change for the better in terms of how our political process and systems work?
I think we are closer to losing our republic than most people know. I think most people are aware of the fact that we have problems. I liken our approach to the emperor's new clothes. If you remember the children's story about the emperor's new clothes, the tailor deludes people into believing that it's a magic thread. And until the one child raises his hand in the audience and says that the emperor is naked, no one will admit that the emperor is without clothes. Mm-hmm. And then everybody knew, but they felt that they could start expressing it. So they start laughing and, you know, the story goes on from there. I think it's very much the same. When I talk to people, and I have friends that are far right, far left, everything in between, all of them are frustrated, but they've all grown complacent and they all accept what's transpiring. They don't think they have a choice. And the reality is they have two votes. They have an economic vote and they have a political vote. And if they learn how to cast those two votes appropriately, they can affect change and bring us back to what made this country great.
So one of the problems, if I'm hearing you right, is money. You're saying that money basically controls what happens. That is to say, a ton of money is being spent for, the primary, the elections, to get people elected. How much money is spent, for example, in the presidential campaign to get
people elected? Party has targeted raising $1 billion, which is interesting because it's for the incumbent. It's the only candidate that actually has a record. Part of my platform is that I will make a commitment. I will never run for a second term. Because quite frankly, at the end of 4 years, you're going to have a record in place, and it will either merit re-election or it won't. So I won't spend a minute of time or a penny of money trying to run for re-election. And as an incumbent, you shouldn't. And yet we have an incumbent that's going to raise and spend approximately $1 billion. Now, interestingly enough, the Party of the Rich historically raises about 50% as much as the Democratic Party. So the Republicans are likely to raise about $500 million. Combine that, we've got $1.5 billion likely to be raised and spent on the presidential election. So let's put that in perspective. That's the equivalent to fully funding for a year 33,000 families at median income. It's about 98,000 individuals receiving average unemployment compensation, and it's 133,000 individuals at the poverty level. Mm-hmm. And we're going to spend that to elect one person to a position that pays $400,000 a year. And we wonder why we have economic problems.
But the perks are pretty good.
Well,
you get your own 747 and your limo.
Well, that's another interesting point you bring up. The base salary is $400,000, and yet on the Hawaiian vacation, it was $4.11 million in taxpayers' fund. Now, that doesn't We're not talking about Martha's Vineyard and the Bali vacation before that.
Well, in all fairness,
it's out of control.
The prior president took a few vacations too.
Absolutely. So. that's why I say there's a party paradigm. Yeah. Both parties have done it, and both parties abuse the system equally.
But now when you say too much money, you're talking about money just in the election process or in the operation of government as well?
Because, oh, in the operation of government as well.
Yeah, because these lobbyists, I mean, there's how many lobbyists for every congressman now? It's a congress member.
The numbers are insane. So TJ, my understanding is the largest contribution you would accept in your campaign is $100. Is that right?
That's correct. And it has to be from an eligible voter.
Okay. So not from a company?
Correct.
Okay. Well, that'll take you a long time to get to $1.5 billion.
Wow. Well, I tell you what, mission impossible, maybe mission probable. We'll see. But we'll be right back after this break for more of It's Your Money, Not Theirs.
The leaders in talk radio. Mike Slater.
I have a feeling that you're a Slater crusader.
Glenn Beck.
A leader will remind people who they are.
Sean Hannity.
Conservatism is literally our path to prosperity and success.
Roger Hitchcock.
There's now two classes of people in this state. One class has to obey the law, and the second class doesn't have to obey any of the laws.
Mark Levin.
I don't care if you've been listening to talk radio since 5 this morning. Stick with me.
Follow them here. San Diego's talk radio leader. 760 KFMB.
Since 1954, Business Valuations Limited has served the affluent and private businesses by measuring, creating, and defending equity values. Carl Sheeler and Business Valuations Limited serve thousands of trusted advisors and their clients in tax, transfer, and transaction matters, as well as IRS discounting and shareholder disputes. Business Valuations Limited is a veteran-owned firm offering a global footprint with local insights. Call 1-800-286-6635 for a free consultation. That's 1-800-286-6635.
Hello, I'm Fletcher Jones, Jr. Last year, over 7,000 Southern Californians made their Mercedes-Benz dreams come true at Fletcher Jones Motor Cars. I'm proud to say we're still the number one dealership
for the 13th consecutive year.
If you missed our December winter event, you're still in luck.
Fletcher Jones Motor Cars is kicking off our giant 20th pre-owned anniversary event this week with over 750 new and certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz that must be sold.
We've recently taken in a record number of pampered local vehicles. Our huge inventory of Fletcher Jones Platinum Certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz are all sales tagged. Remember, only one out of every three qualify. The rest, we sell to less discriminating dealers. This event only happens once a year, so don't miss out. Call us at 949-718-3000. Visit fjmercedes.com. Better yet, drive over today to Jamboree at the 73.
Fletcher Jones Motor Cars. Mercedes-Benz. Newport Beach. Experience the Fletcher Jones difference.
Number one claim based on Mercedes-Benz USA new and pre-owned sales results 11/30/11.
Mike Slater's been singing the praises of Point Loma Electric. Owner and master troubleshooter Jim Dent and his skilled team of electricians are the older home specialists. They've been serving San Diego since 1988 and are one of the few electricians who specialize in upgrading older home electrical systems. Most electricians prefer new construction or commercial electrical work because it's clean and easy. Point Loma Electric enjoys the challenge. If your home was built before 1985, chances are your old fixed wiring is on overdrive and unable to accommodate the modern appliances of today, potentially placing your home at risk for a house fire. Let Point Loma Electric bring your home into the 21st century and rest easier knowing your home and family are safe. Mike Slater has been receiving email testimonials from happy KFMB listeners who have made the call to Point Loma Electric. Why not let that next email come from you? So who are you going to call when the lights go out? Point Loma Electric, 619-224-0672, 619-224-0672, or visit pointlomaelectric.com.
Thank you for calling Rosetta Stone for your free language learning demo.
Yeah, what's the catch?
Excuse me?
Your ad says I can get a free Rosetta Stone demo. So, what's the catch?
No catch. We're so sure Rosetta Stone is the fastest, easiest way to learn a new language that we'll give you a free demo to try it for yourself.
Okay, but I've tried to learn a new language before, and it was always too hard.
Well, Rosetta Stone is a completely natural way to learn a new language, just like you learned your first language. No tedious translation, useless memorization, or boring drills. It even comes in 30 languages. Oh, but there is one thing.
The catch, right?
You could start speaking a new language in less than 15 minutes.
Aha! Wait, did you say 15 minutes?
To get your free demo from Rosetta Stone, call now, 1-800-700-5902. Experience for yourself the fastest, easiest way to learn a new language guaranteed. For your free demo, call now, 1-800-700-5902. That's 1-800-700-5902.
San Diego's talk radio leader, Talk Radio 760 KFMB.
We are back with more of It's Your Money, Not Theirs, and that great Hawaii 5-0 music. And before we continue, we must thank one of our prime sponsors, Lestat's Coffee Houses, the original coffee house on Adams Avenue in Normal Heights, and the new location on University Heights at Park and Monroe. At the original site next door is Lestat's West, one of the great community entertainment spaces in all of San Diego. Tonight they have Happy Ron, who Richard knows, and also Lexi Polito. But anyway, get over there. They've got great coffee, fresh baked goods every day, and now they are even serving bread and sea bread with their sandwiches. So they just took it up another notch. And great people, great service, and they're open 24/7, 365. Great art on the walls. Just an interesting atmosphere. Both places unique, and you need to get down there. So now it's time to get back to Richard and TJ.
And by the way, Happy Ron is, well, it's one of the best acts in town.
He's a piece of work.
Yeah. Great guy. But. So again, this show's called It's Your Money, Not There. So I don't really want to talk about abortion or immigration or gay marriage. I want to talk about the economy. And TJ, when you become president, how are you going to fix it? And let me ask you the first question. All of the protests and all the occupations, what's your impression of what's going on there?
Well, I think at the foundation of the Occupy movement, there perhaps in its inception was an economic focus, but then I think, as usual, other groups invaded that process and took it in another direction. I think really the reduction of spending and the reduction in the size of government is something that you heard at Occupy Wall Street as you would hear at a Tea Party rally. But once the other groups began to intervene, the unions got involved and some other special interest groups got involved, it morphed into something beyond what its original focus was.
So when you run this country, what are you going to do about the economy specifically? I mean, you say that there's too much spending. Obviously, income taxes play a role in terms of the government budget without question. What are some of your thoughts about how to turn this mess that we're in around? And Let me preface that question. I know the unemployment numbers came out fairly positive, but if you get down deep inside those numbers, a lot of those new jobs are, well, very low pay scale. And I don't know that it's going to do much for a lot of people if a great percentage of the new employment, well, for example, won't even allow you to live in San Diego in terms of the cost of living in this town. Mm-hmm. I know it's not the same across the country. And that's, of course, a big challenge in San Diego in terms of trying to create new jobs, too, is just how much money it costs. But what are some of your specific thoughts on the situation that the economy's in?
Let me speak to unemployment first, because I think there's something else that the average American may not pay very much attention to, and that's the definitions. And they changed the definitions to fit the party platform and the party paradigm. They don't count individuals once unemployment terminates.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So there are more people unemployed than they're suggesting. Then you look at the 200,000 jobs that grew back in December. 40,000 of those jobs were seasonal. Mm-hmm. So they don't adjust for that. I mean, if they were really doing it, they do it on some sort of a moving average to take into seasonality.
So what do you think the real unemployment rate is in California? People who are out of work or stop looking for work, isn't it probably closer to 18%? Or I've seen that number. What do you think?
You know, I wouldn't speculate. 18 sounds, 16 to 18 is probably correct for California if you used an honest definition and not one that was politically expedient. Mm-hmm. I know even the politically expedient one were around 12. Mm-hmm. So I would suspect that, you know, 4-6% more would probably be realistic.
So what can government do to create jobs?
Government doesn't do a very good job of creating jobs, quite frankly, and I think that's one of the issues. I think what we need to do, if we went back to what I'll term in a corporate sense, the mission and vision statement of the United States is the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and the associated amendments. The value statement is the Declaration. Let's go back to those and take a look. The one thing I will tell you it's unnerving. We talked at the break about the debates. To hear candidates that are going to take the oath of office, and the second part of that oath of office is to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. And yet you will hear people in the debates say, on the first day that I'm elected, I will repeal Obamacare. Well, good luck with that, because that's an Article I legislative responsibility, and you don't have that authority as President of the United States. So either you are misrepresenting the fact to try and attract votes and pander to what you think is an emotional issue, or you haven't read the Constitution or don't understand it, and you aren't qualified to be President of the United States. So I'd start within the context of Article II. What can the president do? Now, I use a process. I've done 25 years or more of difficult turnarounds. The joke in my consulting firm was if it ended up on my desk, it had been pronounced dead at the scene, the toe tag was on, and they were zipping up the body bag.
So by turnaround, you mean a company that was basically going under, and you came in and turned it around, rescued companies, it, and made it go in the right direction,
underperforming, become profitable? Sure, underperforming okay. in the market, absolutely devoid of any cash, no ability to leverage any additional loans, disarray in the management team, disarray in the staff.
Did you just describe the country?
That's one of the reasons I think I'm qualified to do it, because you need somebody who's really done turnarounds. And I'm not talking about running a company that in turn has staff that does turnarounds. Yeah. Somebody who's actually experienced working in extreme circumstances.
Yeah. I was going to ask you, you know, if you can translate your private sector experience into the public sector, and that might be a bigger challenge than, you know, most people think. But, you know, that's something, you know, we might be able to get into in the next half of the show.
But along the lines of what you could do with the economy, you have to recognize there are controllable aspects of the economy and non-controllable aspects. If you focus on the controllable, that's within the public sector.
Okay, but let's hold that thought right there, because unfortunately we have to take a break. But we'll be right back with more of It's Your Money, Not Theirs, right after these commercial announcements, news, sports, and weather.
Follow 760 in 2012. Mike Slater mornings, Roger Hedgecock afternoons. We lead the conversation. Talk Radio 760, KFMB.
For 30 years, people have chosen Marichal Design and Remodeling to make the home they love a more special place for their family. If you love where you live, you can trust your home to us. As the new year begins, Gary Marichal would like to thank everyone for their trust and loyalty.
Hi, I'm Gary Marichal. Year after year, we built some great relationships with families all over San Diego. We're truly honored that so many people have trusted their homes to us. Now, as the new year presents new prospects and new opportunities, I'd like to wish each of you good health, happiness, and peace. If there's anything we can do to make your home more comfortable for you and your family in the new year, please let us know.
The best for the new year from Marichal Design and Remodeling, named 2011 National Remodeler of the Year and 7-time Better Business Bureau Torch Award winner and finalist. Call 619-441-9300. 441-9300 or visit trustyourhometous.com.
You've heard Mike Slater and Roger Hedgecock talking about Rapid Transmissions, the largest independent transmission company in San Diego. Let's hear what people in San Diego are writing about Rapid. Jessica in Vista writes, "Mark is very helpful. I was having problems with my Subaru. It had about 150,000 miles on it. I was very nervous that my car wasn't going to be worth fixing. He eased my concerns and honestly made me feel like I could drive my car around for many more years to come. I ended up getting a few things done to my car, and it didn't break my budget. I just want to say thank you to the staff that always return my calls in a timely manner. It's nice to know that there are actually honest people out there that will go out of their way to make it possible. Trust your vehicle to the experts at Rapid, located in San Diego, Escondido and the 78, and their newly remodeled location in La Mesa. Call 800-562-7675 or visit rapidtransmissions.com.
When choosing a treatment for cancer, experience counts. As the nation's first proton treatment center, Loma Linda University Medical Center pioneered the use of proton radiation for the treatment of prostate, lung, and brain cancers. We treat more patients than any other center of its kind in the world. Nearly a fourth of all proton therapy patients are treated at Loma Linda University Medical Center. Nearly 12,000 in all, over 1,000 last year. Unlike IMRT and tomotherapy, which use X-rays, Protons can be controlled to start and stop in the body to deliver maximum radiation to the tumor. This increased precision leads to less radiation to surrounding healthy tissues. To learn more and receive your free informational DVD, visit protons.com or call 1-800-PROTONS. Loma Linda University Medical Center. Many strengths, one mission.
What do you do when you have a small problem in your relationship? The best bet is to handle that issue before it turns into a real problem. Same thing goes for handling termites. Termites are the stealth bugs of the insect world. Hi, I'm Sue Fries, owner of Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services. Did you know Ecola is the leading ecological solution for termite problems? Right now, termites are looking for a home, your home. Chances are they've already moved in and are swarming and nesting, becoming a real problem. We'll get rid of them quickly and conveniently with the Ecola Green Advantage. We use microwave, electrogun, and Ecola heat that eradicates termites without the overnight move-out hassle. Call us today for a free estimate at 1-800-332-BUGS. That's 1-800-332-BUGS. Ecola, E-C-O-L-A, powerful termite and pest control, as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about the Ecola Green Advantage warranty. Call 1-800-332-BUGS. Get $100 off any termite work for new customers only.
Follow Mark Levin.
Tomorrow night, 6 to 9.
Talk Radio 760 KFMB.
Local domestic violence rates high. With the information you need, I'm KFMB's Rick Williams. Well, San Diego County has one of the highest rates of domestic violence calls to police or deputies in the entire state. Union Tribune is reporting the county ranked second only to Fresno for its rate of such calls in 2010. Well, police released video of the dying son bandit. The man's accused of robbing three banks in San Diego and two in Orange County. Tells his victims he needs the cash to pay medical bills for his terminally ill son. And four San Diego County residents, they are among a dozen people arrested by federal agents during Operation Cyber Wild. They're all accused of selling endangered species over the Internet. Well, if saving money is one of your New Year's resolutions, switch to the Allstate Value Plan. It's their most affordable car insurance, and you still get an agent. Dollar for dollar, nobody protects you like Allstate. KFMB weather, partly cloudy and 60 degrees right now at Lindbergh Field. And in sports, a big upset in the NFL. Denver beat Pittsburgh today in overtime, 29-23. Broncos will play the Patriots next week. Follow these stories and more at KFMB.com. And now the latest from ABC News.
Closing arguments with just one full day left until the New Hampshire primary. Mitt Romney expressing empathy with voters.
I know what it's like to worry whether you're going to get fired. There were a couple of times I wondered whether I was going to get a pink slip.
Romney was the son of a millionaire who made millions on his own. He also said today he's not a career politician. Newt Gingrich told him to stop with the pious baloney. Romney is the frontrunner in New Hampshire and in South Carolina, where the next primary will be held. Rick Santorum and Rick Perry were campaigning there today. Candlelight service, including live music, to remember the victims of the Tucson shootings 1 year ago.
We love you, Gabby.
The band Calexico honoring Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords. It's her favorite band, and Giffords was on hand to enjoy the music tonight. At the movies this weekend, a surprise hit, The Devil Inside, was number one, earning more than $34 million. Mission Impossible, Ghost Protocol fell to the number two spot with $20 million in ticket sales. Brad Wheelis, ABC News.
Follow 760 in 2012. Mike Slater mornings, Roger Hedgecock afternoons. We lead the conversation. Talk Radio 760, KFMB.
All right, and we are back with more of It's Your Money, Not Theirs, and now it's time to give control of the show back to Richard and TJ.
Joe, what song was that? I don't recognize this one.
I don't know. Scott, can you... The Avengers.
Oh, The Avengers, okay.
I picked it up, but I forgot. You know, I think I'm getting a little onset on Alzheimer's or whatever. It's a good song, though.
No, I like that song. I
like that. I like that.
Where did that come from? I don't remember that. So before we went to the break, we were talking about controllable and non-controllable expenditures, and to give a little bit of background, again, TJ's business experience is in turning companies around, companies that are basically about ready to go under. And I made a joke before the break about, I thought he was describing the government, not the country. I mean, not a company. But let's get back to controllable, non-controllable expenditures and what you might do to fix this mess that we're in.
Sure. Within that context, under controllable, obviously the president has the ability to have direct and indirect control relative to the public sector. The private sector, I would segment into privately held companies versus publicly traded, as well as individuals. There are ways to influence that group, but you don't have either direct or indirect control over that group. And I can speak to any of those segments. Is there one you would like me to address and give you an example?
How about the recent controversy about cutting the payroll tax? I mean, it seems like the GOP is always about cutting taxes, and then when this came up, they were against it, and I think they lost some favorability there. Any opinions on that?
Well, it was just amazing to me when that got bogged down, because I thought consensus had been built. It became a political decision, obviously, not to pass it. Controlled by some Republicans, and then I think they realized they made a bad political move. That is to say, they realized that might not get them elected or reelected if they held ground there. So, but TJ, your comments?
Well, I would agree with you. I thought consensus had been built. Whether or not that was a significant reduction, I think the discussion of $1,000 or $1,500, if you actually do the math, which I'm sure you gentlemen do, you take that calculator out and you're looking at a Starbucks a day of impact on a family's life. And if you saw what the president was doing on Twitter at the time, they were coming back, how is this going to impact you? And people were building new homes, buying yachts, going to college. It was absurd. They hadn't done the math. The reality is, the other side of that coin that didn't get discussed and probably should have is, where does the payroll tax go? Well, the payroll tax goes to Social Security. And the same party that will claim that the Republicans in this case were getting in the way of the tax cut are the same people will say that you can't cut Social Security, and that's exactly what that tax cut did. So I think what you have to do is apply rational decision making and take a look at the entire structure. From a tax standpoint, I think we need to do the math. I'm not going to throw out percentages, but I can certainly work with a staff at working towards the appropriate number. But I think we would be better served to go to a flat tax. And I'll base that on the value statement, the declaration. You know, we hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. Well, let's make it equal. Mm-hmm. And understand that percentages allow disproportionate real cash to be paid and eliminate the need for all of the special exceptions that only make it into the 70,000 plus pages of tax code that we have because they offer political advantages. And that's why we expanded. We started with a 400-page tax code, and we went the first 125 years without an income tax. Started with a 400-page code. It's over 70,000 pages now, and the entire Constitution is four pages, plus a letter of transmittal, plus a letter or one page for the Bill of Rights.
I think Warren Buffett might agree with you. How about, that's individual tax. How about corporate tax? Would flat tax in that regard too, or what do you think?
I would do the same thing. And I think one of the ways to take a look at a flat tax, and when I say you have to do the math, why not index the size of government to GDP and maybe have an adjustment for population so that you actually have something that moves with the movement of the economy and then understand that you can't spend beyond that.
So let's not get too carried away with the tax code, because it's been very good to some of us. But seriously, so I'm watching the debate in New Hampshire, and somebody asked candidate Huntsman how he would raise revenue to pay for what. And he said, remember, this is the Republican debate. He said, well, we need to get rid of all of the tax loopholes that cost the government about, I guess it's $1.1 trillion. And I sort of fell off my seat, because I haven't heard too many Republicans suggest that we should raise income taxes. Because when you think about that, that's really raising income taxes. Although he was trying to make the point that we should go to a, shall we say, a more flat tax, as opposed to just getting rid of these preferential corporate benefits. He didn't really get to finish his comment, though, because Perry interrupted him. That's one of the strange things about the debate. It's more like a free-for-all. And then Perry said that we should... Well, he was trying to make the same point, but he has a really hard time making coherent points, in my opinion. But he said there should only be five write-offs. I think it was children, charity, medical, education. I think the fifth one was pensions. I may have missed one of those.
Well, at least he remembered it.
Yeah, at least he remembered it. He went alphabetical.
Anything
though,
about the Department
that.
Of Energy at all?
So, but it was two Republican candidates. They were squirming around after a while, because it sounded like they were saying that we needed to raise taxes. Because if you say that we should only have tax benefits for children, charity, pensions, education, and medical, what about depreciation? What about real estate? What about home ownership? You know, there's all these questions that get raised. But I think they were trying to make the point that we needed a flat tax or a flatter tax. Certainly simplification would be a big part of that. But how about, let me ask this question. Let me just throw it out on the floor. How about credits for people who expand their workforce? Is that a way government can encourage businesses to, well, do better for the economy and pay less tax?
Either credits or you could apply it. I use an example of a 10% reduction against whatever the tax rate is for the corporation because it's a stratified structure at this point in time. 10% reduction for every 10% increase in employment in the U.S. Stipulate that it's got to be in the U.S. And if you took a look at doing that, it provides a disproportionate advantage to smaller companies because they can have a 10% increase much more readily. And if they increased 100%, they'd be paying zero taxes for the year. But we would benefit because of the income tax that would be generated and the job creation that would be created with that type of an application. The larger companies, obviously, would require far more employees just to get to the 10% level. So again, it would be very similar to a flat tax. It'd be a flat reduction based on percentage increase in job population in the United States.
And let me throw a question out, and I'm going to sort of preface this just using my professional experience. To me, I don't know that the complexity of the tax code is as much of a problem as the uncertainty of the tax code. That is to say, we are sitting here in early January of 2012 with a slew of income tax breaks or rules that are set to expire less than 12 months from now. And of course, we're heading into election at about the same time. And so for the small to medium-sized business owner who's trying to make decisions about, for example, acquiring capital assets, whether or not they should hire new employees, we're not even certain if we know what the rules are a year from now in January of 2013. What are your impressions on this volleyball game that the government seems to play with the tax code about taking things right to the last minute before they even let us know what the rules are going to be?
Yeah, I agree with you. People with private sector experience understand that the uncertainty is what's keeping the capital on the sideline. I mean, that's one of the severe issues that we have in the private sector. If they would stabilize the tax code, that would be at least a starting point. They use it as a political football. The reason they put it off to the last minute is to try and gain political advantage. If they were doing what was in the best interest of the people rather than what's in the best interest of the party, they would resolve the issue as soon as possible. It's not like when you look at the first 3 years of the president's first term and possibly last term, it's not that he didn't know that we had an economic crisis going into it. It's not that we didn't know that we were going to hit the debt ceiling. But everything was deferred till the last minute to see how it could be politically leveraged, and that's got to stop.
Well, I think Congress has a lot of weight in that matter, too. But, hey, maybe one solution might be term limits for Congress. How come the president has a term limit and senators and Congress members do not? I think 12 years for both would be adequate, 6 years and 6 terms for Congress and 2 for Senate. That might be a thought.
Well, I mentioned term limits in one of my books, The National Platform of Common Sense. In that context, why aren't we seeing candidates coming out pushing for election reform? That would solve a myriad of problems.
John McCain used to talk about the public finance of campaigns all the time. And, I don't know, I guess he fell in with the other side or something, or that whole issue.
He wanted to get elected, Joe.
Well, it was after the Senate banking stuff in the early 90s, and then I guess all of a sudden he embraced piety in the terms of public finance, but I guess when he ran for president.
Those comments stopped when he ran for president, put it that way.
And the problem with the money that's flowing in, let's just take the presidential election. When you look at what results, over 80% of the senior White House appointments went to bundlers who raised $500,000 or more. Almost 50% of the ambassadorships went to bundlers who raised $500,000 or more.
Those offices must be bought and sold all the time. The ambassadorships, that's probably an unwritten rule, but I think all those people are very well off who get those positions. I remember when Shirley Temple became ambassador to Ghana, she said, "Oh, I love chocolate."
I'm not even going to comment on that.
Shirley Temple Black.
So, TJ, you call yourself a campaign of contrast. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. And why do you say that?
Well, number one, I'm taking money out of the equation. Number two, I'm focusing on the people rather than a party. And third, and perhaps most important, beyond having a process, a rational thought process and private sector experience, so I actually understand the economy beyond a superficial basis, I can be America's first full-time president. Now think about that. If you have contacts on the Hill as I do, representatives, senators will spend anywhere from 50 to 75% of their time fundraising and running for re-election. It's worse for the president because the president draws a crowd, and crowds mean more money and more votes. So the president not only spends time doing political fundraisers for his party because he's obligated to, he also flies around at $181,000 operating costs per hour in Air Force One, not including Secret Service and the five-star hotels that they have to clear for his presence, but flies around to campaign on behalf of other party candidates whom he may have never met other than 5 minutes before and yet will endorse them as if he has known them for a long time because it's driven by the party, and then run for re-election on his own part. And the reality is, as I said before, that's the incumbent we're talking about in this case.
Well, that's great. Let's cover more of that after this short break, and we'll get right back with more of It's Your Money, Not Theirs.
Follow Roger Hedgecock in 2012.
The President of the United States found it inconvenient to have opposition in Congress to his appointee to the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. And now we've got the President nullifying the Constitution. Well, you know, you're ideological types. You don't want my guy. You don't like this bureau. So I'm just going to go around you. I don't need no stinking Senate. Okay, liberals. Okay, ACLU. What about this?
Roger Hedgecock, tomorrow, 3 to 6. Talk Radio 760. KFMB.
Since 1954, Business Valuations Limited has served the affluent and private businesses by measuring, creating, and defending equity values. Carl Sheeler and Business Valuations Limited serve thousands of trusted advisors and their clients in tax, transfer, and transaction matters, as well as IRS discounting and shareholder disputes. Business Valuations Limited is a veteran-owned firm offering a global footprint with local insights. Call 1-800-286-6635 for a free consultation. That's 1-800-286-6635.
Have you heard? Proactive is better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway, and you'll also receive free shipping. Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactive, your acne can heal and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Don't miss this limited time offer. Give us a call at 1-800-644-2573 because we're going to let a million people try Proactive risk-free, get two free gifts, and also receive free shipping when you call right now. You heard it. This offer won't last long. So call Proactive now and you'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial at Proactive, two free extras, and free shipping. Call 1-800-644-2573. This is our best radio offer ever. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactive plus free shipping. That's right, free shipping. Don't wait. Visit GetProactive.com or call 1-800-644-2573. That's 1-800-644-2573.
Hi, if you've got a garage door that needs repair or replacement, there's a phone number I'd like to teach you. It's 800-610-3089. Whether you've got a broken spring, roller, opener, or even a damaged door, there's just one number you need to know. That's the number for Garage Door Service Company, 800-610-3089. We'll even sing it for you.
800-610-3089, 800-610-3089, Garage Door Service Company.
Garage Door Service Company has been serving San Diego for over 10 years. Call today and get a free service call with any repair. That's a free service call. And this month, you'll get $200 off any new double door and $100 off any single. Hey, how about our website? It's GarageDoorService.com. That's where you go to find all our discount coupons. If your garage door needs repair or replacement, visit the web or call that number.
800-610-3089, 800-610-3089, Garage Door Service Company.
This is Dan Tullis, and I just called
Joel Clark,
one of Select Quote Insurance Services' term life agents.
Hi, Mr. Tullis.
Joel, how does Select Quote save you money on term life insurance?
Well, buying term life insurance is all about choosing the right company. Let's say you take antidepressants or you smoke. All insurance companies are going to price that differently. We'll impartially shop all the companies we represent to find you the best price.
Can you give me an example?
Sure. I just got a man, 40 years old, who takes blood pressure medication, a $500,000 policy with a highly rated insurance company. His price, $21 a month.
Call 1-800-500-1992 and see how affordable term life insurance can be. That's 1-800-500-1992. 1-800-500-1992. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Roger Hedgecock.
Follow me every afternoon, 3 to 6 on 760 KFMB.
Ooh, I know this song. This is the FBI. Welcome back to more of It's Your Money, Not Theirs. And before we continue, we also have to thank Lestat's Coffee Houses in Normal Heights and University Heights, open 24/7, 365, now serving Bread and Sea bread with all their sandwiches and meals. Great homemade soups, great atmosphere, artwork. They've actually got, when you walk into the one on in University Heights, they have two chairs. They look two thrones, for God's sakes. And you can go in there and pretend you're, you know, you're king or queen for a day. So, but anyway, let's get back to our guest, TJ O'Hara. And, well, actually, Richard, I think you had a question first.
Oh, I just wanted to ask a specific question. Can you give us an example of a specific example of what a president can do to impact jobs or job creation?
Right. That's on the indirect side. So let me give you an example. The president talked about in February, I believe it was, when he spoke to the United States Chamber of Commerce. His approach to a problem, which was 14,000 unoccupied government buildings, was to liquidate the inventory. Now, as financial people, I would ask you basic questions. Number one, think we're going to be selling high or selling low?
Selling very low. In fact, my family office might want to buy a couple.
Well, that's another question. Who actually wants to buy an unoccupied building in today's economy? And the third question would be, who would actually fund it? Who would finance it? It's just not going to happen. So let's take a look at, if we looked at the problem of having 14,000 unoccupied buildings that in the private sector would be sitting on a balance sheet, and they would be at zero balance on the balance sheet because they've been amortized over the period of time. What can we do with those buildings? Well, let's create jobs with those buildings. So what if we went to entrepreneurs? Because in startup companies that I've done turnarounds, one of the biggest problems when you go to lease a new facility, you have to guarantee the lease. So you basically, let's say it's $1 million for a three-year lease. You take $1 million at what could be operating capital, and you put that in another account, and you can't touch that. Now, you're paying the lease on top of it, but you can't touch that capital. So what if we freed that capital up, and we said, we're going to provide you with the federal building, which is sitting empty at this point in time. We're going to provide it rent-free. So now you can redeploy that capital to either accelerate your development, accelerate your time to market, or grow jobs.
I like
you're
that.
still going to have to pay for the insurance, because you would have to do that anyway, so that if the building burns down, the taxpayer is protected. You're still going to pay for utilities, because you would have to do that anyway. But we have freed up operating capital for you. Now, that's never going to be proposed by a politician, because either they don't understand the private sector well enough, or probably more importantly, there's no political power tied to it. What we're doing is freeing up the capitalistic economy to function as it should. Now, if you don't have enough entrepreneurs immediately, why not take some of those buildings and deploy them the exact same terms with charities that supplant the need for the government to become involved to handle certain social issues? Or why not extend them to, say, community colleges for trade schools, so that you can then start training people for the 3 million jobs that are posted today that we don't have the skill set.
I think a lot of nonprofits are getting a pretty good deal. To like in Balboa Park, I believe the Old Globe Theater pays $1 a year in rent. I think all those nonprofits pay about $1 a year. So, maybe that's something to look at.
The trade schools, well, that's a topic for another show. Yeah. I think the direction our education system is going in, it's the absolute wrong direction, but I'm not going to go there right now because that's not the topic for mm-hmm. tonight. But I love the idea of trade schools, because I think there's a lot of employment opportunities that people simply don't get into.
How about real quickly, the two big 800-pound elephants, the DOD and entitlements? Those are make up the bulk of the federal budget. I know the DOD is incapable of even being audited, but what can we do with their budget went from $300 billion in 2000 up to over $700 billion, and I think it's going north of a trillion in 2012. But what can we do about all of that?
Well, again, I think you have to look at a fundamental reassessment and a rational reassessment of the military. It is used as a political football. We have the president today talking about how big our our budget is for the military, bigger than the next 10 countries and so forth. That's not necessarily something to brag about.
And a lot of the budget goes to the private sector too, right? With contractors and, you know, with a lot of markup and cost overruns that are an issue.
Absolutely. But I think what we need to do is reevaluate our foreign policy and understand what role we should play. Sometimes Einstein is credited with the definition. It goes as far back as Benjamin Franklin, from what I can tell, the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. Yet we continue to try and nation build at a cost of trillions, not to talk about the human body count that's involved in it, but it does nothing but create divisiveness. We haven't been effective at doing it, and as soon as we withdraw, things tend to go back to normal because, quite frankly, we don't have any authority over the other sovereign nations. So I think we need to evaluate what we do from a foreign policy standpoint and then right-size the military. I think we need to concentrate on the technological advancements and the technological superiority as opposed to boots on the ground, and that's where our focus ought to be.
Boy, if we could come up with a clean alternative to oil and develop it in this country, we could probably revolutionize a whole nother industry and sector and market that around the world instead of buying it from around the world and protecting it with a lot of resources. Agree?
Absolutely. And, you know, you bring up energy and you think of oil. August 4th, if I get the date correct, 1977, President Carter established the Department of Energy. Its original mission was to eliminate the United States' dependence on foreign oil. Now, we're 34 years later. They have a $25 billion a year operating budget. They have about 16,000 employees, full-time employees, and 100,000 contractors. How are we doing with that?
I don't know. I mean, I think they keep track of uranium, too, and other things, but I'm not even real familiar with
it. Sure, we should shout out TJ's website.
We should. If you need to know more about TJ, his website is tjohara.com, and you can learn more about his platform, his campaign, his background. He actually has a law degree and a business degree. He would be the first president with those two credentials, correct?
I believe so.
Yeah, so... And we're kind of getting toward the end here. Any final thoughts, Richard, TJ?
Again, you really need to check out www.tjohara.com. Fascinating website. This mm-hmm. is a candidate for the citizens, mm-hmm. not for either party.
I think we should.
I thought we did a good job tonight, Joe, of being, well, fairly agnostic in terms of our political bent. We always do a good job, though, on that.
I think so. We try. You know what? We treat these microphones and these airwaves with respect. We don't shout. This isn't your typical... Radio fair or talk radio fair or even TV fair for that matter. It's gotten, you know, politics is fine, but, you know, we can all be friends and get along well. But in any case, we have to thank TJ and thank you, Richard, and we're wrapping it up here. Thank you to Scott Love, our board operator tonight, and thank you to Craig Blanke, account executive, and our programming genius, Dave Sniff. Good night. We'll see you next week. Have a great week, everybody.
Remember, it's your money, not theirs.
It is your money, not theirs.
I'm so excited about this. It's a new website called showyourlovesd.org. So when I first moved to San Diego, I was told over and over again that San Diego is a small town. And I'm thinking, well, hold on, it's the second biggest city in the state. It's one of the biggest cities in the entire country. What do you mean it's a small town? But it doesn't take long to realize that, yeah, San Diego is a bunch of small towns, and I love it, and you love San Diego, and more people are starting to know about it. San Diego's growing, and there's going to be a lot of changes that are going to take place in the next few years. So go to showyourlovesd.org, take a quick survey, and have your voice be heard about the vision for San Diego in the next 40 years. Questions about traffic, jobs, housing, the economy, your answers will have an effect on how we move forward together. The answers from this survey are going to be compiled and used to direct efforts by different civic organizations in our amazing city. So show your passion and pride for San Diego. Choose your future now. Go to showyourlovesd.org. Take the survey today. showyourlovesd.org.
This is San Diego's new home of the Roger Hedgecock Show. We lead the conversation. Talk Radio 760 KFMB, San Diego.